The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 5 of your notes of the doctrine of the pastor teacher. As you've heard many, many times, there are three adjustments to God. All members of the human race are under the directive will of God. Whether they comply or not, the directive will of God is three adjustments. The real big one is the easiest one. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ as the object of faith, and you instantly are incorporated into the plan of God, imputed with eternal life and God's righteousness, and guaranteed that when you check out, you will get eventually a resurrection body, just like Jesus Christ. Same dynamic, absolutely, 100%. The second adjustment, the second adjustment is illustrated here in this familiar diagram, where all believers are in Christ, but all believers aren't in fellowship. Getting in fellowship is very easy. All you have to do is confess your known sin. Generic rebound works too. Forgive us our sins, as in the model prayer. The rebound, we call it, so that you can reestablish fellowship with God, be filled with the Spirit, however you feel physically, be filled with the Spirit, and in that state, you are able to produce divine good. Whatever you're doing legitimately in life, that's divine good production. Working, applying in any way, that's divine good. And at this time, it enables you to appreciate the information communicated to you, so you can hear things you've heard, maybe things you haven't clicked with yet. In any case, you are able to be led by the Spirit, who has been given to us for the purpose of leading us on this journey into the truth, this side of phase 3. All believers in heaven and in the afterlife, they're instantly downloaded with the entire plan of God. You don't have any dummies in heaven. Bunch of them down here, but none in heaven. And so we correct the dummy factor by taking in the mind of Christ incrementally, so that we are built up in the faith and we have Christ in us in the form of Bible doctrine. So you're in, you're out of fellowship. In fellowship, out of fellowship, rebound gets you in fellowship. Not illustrated on the board is the third adjustment. Of course, that's the maturity adjustment. And that takes time in grade, face-to-face teaching under the right pastor. So let's take the usual time to double-check ourselves and keep ourselves in fellowship. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to assemble ourselves as one body in Christ in the angelic conflict and receive those things necessary to our orientation to the topic at hand and doctrine in general. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The pastor teacher here under point 11, here, Roman numeral 11, the pastor teacher, and we'll pick up with subpoint I somewhere down here. The pastor teacher shares the weaknesses, failures, tests, undeserved suffering of his children. 2 Corinthians 11, 29. And Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? The second sentence in that deals with the pastor's concern for believers who are caught up in something. Anyway, pastor teacher hangs in there with right congregation when the congregation experiences corporate STA flare-ups, and we've had our share historically, and I have maintained my function before you during difficult times in the congregation and in their history. So, let me see here. Oh, I got the wrong chapter, as usual. In the regard to the Galatians, they really hit the wall, so to speak, when they got involved with these intruders that they should have never given the time of day to, but they did, and the Galatian letter was written. Thankfully, we've got it, because it deals with a lot of important things about the Christian life, and in particular the way of salvation, that they got off base on that one, being convinced that faith in Christ wasn't enough, that they needed to do more by these intruders, you know, come in there, butter them up, smiles, all the rest of it, and then tell them something different than Paul had been telling them. They should have put the brakes on right then and right there, but they didn't. They entertained these people, and they gave them a hearing and were influenced by this. So Paul has to labor to pull people back out of this and get them back on track. My children, that indicates the relationship between Paul and these people whom he evangelized, did a lot of suffering there to establish these churches and bring these Gentiles out of paganism and into salvation. And they saw him, they saw his ministry, his devotion to them. My children, with whom I am again in labor. Labor is not a fun thing for a woman to go through. I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. He uses the pregnancy analogy here to illustrate Christ formed in you. You do not have Christ formed in you when you have a bunch of false doctrine bouncing around in a person's head. You got to get that junk out of there, whatever your background, whatever your exposure is, and get the real thing in your mind. And it starts with the topic of the way of salvation and all the particulars. All that's out there, it is that is not Christ formed in them. I didn't say they weren't saved. The false teachers at Galatia did say you got to believe in Christ. That's not good. That leaving it there and adding to it is another gospel. And it's a violation. It is a serious violation. And Paul makes that clear. But I could wish to be present with you now. Well, I've had the ability to be with you all the time, always present with you, and able to bring these things to your attention. But I could wish to be present with you and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. That was a pressure. Paul is suffering soul pressure with regard to the future of these believers, the Galatians, in terms of their phase two. And as also noted with regard to the Corinthians, the Corinthians set of problems were a varied number of things that was going on in this apparently large church, the Corinthian situation. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:19, all this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we are speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife. That's ST activity between believers. Jealousy. This is another list of STA things that are not healthy in a congregation. Jealousy. Angry. Tempers. We've seen those flare up from time to time around here on the property. Disputes. Ongoing disputes. Any of these you read, you can check yourself to see if any of these things are a part of your life at this time. Slanders, gossips, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and have not repented of the impurity. Then he gives another list. Another list of things that goes on among believers potentially. And these are on the involved sexual activities that are sinful. Those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. Moving on, the right pastor prays for his congregation. He should. And I thank you for your prayers in recent times and the things that I have gone through, that we have gone through together. And I appreciate very much you holding me up in prayer. I covet that. And I thank God that I suspect that you are doing so, and I have been the recipient of things as a result of your prayers. Colossians 4, 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He was with Paul at this time. Always laboring earnestly, Paul was in prison in Rome, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. See, that's the goal, that you get this information in your soul and you have full assurance. You're not shaky about it. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. The pastor teacher boasts in right congregation when it's appropriate, and I do, individually and collectively. I try to let you know that I appreciate very much those of you who have hung in there through thick and thin, through the various things that we as a local church have experienced in our considerable history. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and following. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith, I read this before, I'll read it again, your faith, that's your positive volition, is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you towards one another grows greater. This is just something that grows in the appreciation of other positive members of the royal family. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. When Paul left Thessalonica after his time with them, they came under, it takes a minute, but the society at large rose up against them. and they were suffering from family and friends and others. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment. What? That you're under this. It's a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. So it has another purpose. The purpose is that when you endure suffering and adversity from others for your faith, then that you are considered worthy of the kingdom of God. You stand tall. Rather than, cave into it, succumb to the persecution of others, for which indeed you are suffering. We're suffering for a future kingdom in which we will be vindicated as believers for what we have endured in time at the hands of others. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. They're going to have their comeuppance. They're not going to skate free on this. And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. And the final manifestation of this is what we're waiting for. And to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven. That's the rapture event. He'll come out from his place and be revealed as we meet him in the air with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Now, he'll first be revealed to the church, but then we're talking here about being revealed to the human race at large at his second coming. This is going to be, for them that are not where they need to be, it's going to be extremely frightening when they see him coming out of the heavens. And he describes it here in terms with his mighty angels in flaming fire. And this, of course, as his personal advent at the second advent, this is Armageddon, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They're going to take it and get hit. Everybody who refuses this gospel, obviously, they're going to come under eternal retribution. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. A very sobering passage that anyone out there listening needs to check themselves when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at. Excuse me. I have this little issue in the mornings. To be glorified in his saints on that day. So you have three groups. Well, you have the Lord and his angels. Then you have those that come under divine judgment at the second advent, the Armageddon event. And when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, to be marveled at among all who have believed. That's tribulational saints. They're going to be awestruck. They're saved. They've heard some doctrine. But now they're going to get to see the Lord. And of course, these are not people who have been believers for a very long time. At max, 7 years and some less. But they will marvel among those who have believed. For our testimony, he goes back, and what else are they going to see? They're going to see the Lord. They're going to see the phenomenon, and they're going to see us. We're going to be glorified with him. They're going to see us as we come as a mass towards the earth. It's hard to wrap your head around, but it's exactly what it says. He said, and the Thessalonians are going to be there. We're going to be there with them. At the second advent, that's 7 years after the rapture, of course. And to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. You in time locked into it, you Thessalonians. You're on the right track. Okay, you're under the gun. That's temporal suffering, persecution, to render you worthy of the kingdom. You say, well, I thought all you had to do is believe in Christ. Yes, that's all you have to do to be there. But to stand tall and be a person of distinction, you have to have on your record that you withstood persecution for your faith. You didn't turn and run, compromise. You stood up to it. It can come from those closest to you. We've seen this again and again. But you didn't fold. So far, the Thessalonians were at this point in Paul's ministry, the shining example that all the other church, they were the model church, the tupos church, Greek word. They were the tupos church at this time in history to the rest of the churches out there. They had that distinction. Just the way they corporately acted and conducted themselves from the time that they came into existence and during the time of Paul's separation from them. So those verses, 2 Corinthians 7:14, for if in anything I have boasted in him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we have spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. Now this has a context. This context is the 1 Corinthian letter and the visit of Titus, and the Corinthians got their act together. And so Paul gets good news about them. That's what that is. Right congregation is the source of the pastor's joy, glory, boasting, and comfort. Philippians 2:2. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. I cannot emphasize this enough when I'm talking to people. We have to be on the same wavelength. Now, I don't expect everybody to be all at once. No. But that's the goal, to be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, and that is to finish your course, hang in there to the end, and see it through, and not let the things of this world distract you and I from what we need to do, as long as we need to do it. 1 Thessalonians 4:20. Probably should have wrote these out, save us some time, but I didn't, so here we are. 2:20, he says, for you, Thessalonians, here we go again, you are our glory. You are our glory. And plus H, joy. 2 Corinthians 7:14 and 13. I have 7. 4. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I'll be filled with comfort. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. You don't hear people saying that we're rejoicing in our affliction. This has to do with the sufferings inevitably that come to Christians from the cosmos as they live out their Christian lives. And verse 13, for this reason, we have been comforted. And besides our comfort, we rejoice even more for the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Titus went there. He traveled to Corinth. This is, as its background, all the things Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians. And he had to go there and wonder if they responded to what Paul said. Were there areas where they needed to as a church to get their act together and clean up things that needed to be cleaned up. The incestuous Corinthian incident and other things. There wasn't just that. And of course, Titus is Paul's representative. He's the messenger for Paul to go there and troubleshoot and see what the situation is. And he got there and they cleaned up their act. So we get 2 Corinthians. That's kind of a little bit of background to these things in the Bible. Right pastor's mental attitude, right congregation's mental attitude towards right pastor. 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5:17. Oh, that's not it. Let me skip here. 5:12, what am I thinking? But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And there's always the statement, live at peace with one another. No conflicts. Well, none of this petty stuff. Live at peace. As a believer, the minimum you can do is, you know, say hello to somebody. Don't say anything you can't do sincerely. You know, no fake stuff. Good to see you. Hi. How are you doing? Etc. If that's all you do, and try to avoid judging believers. Believers are at different levels and different situations. I think I have a lot of tolerance and patience with certain things. Other things I don't, because that wouldn't be appropriate. But other things I do. People growing up, getting their spiritual legs under them. Sometimes it takes a while. It just does. And you just have to hang in there with them. People grow and advance at their own rate. And 1 Timothy 5:17. Skip that one. Let's move on to Roman numeral 12. Passages and principles dealing with face-to-face teaching under right pastor. Okay, for the obvious thing, which I know you do, the congregation is to pray for the continual, unbroken, uninterrupted situation with regard to face-to-face teaching. We don't take this for granted. We don't take it for granted considering the times in which we live. And so always keep that on your prayer list, that God will keep an open door for us, an opportunity to be here without all this upheaval that's in society. So whatever other round of this we have to face, we'll face it. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it like don't allow yourself to become disheartened, soul fainting due to your own testing and the way things are in the world today. They're not going to get better. This country is not going to get better. Period. Politicians can promise we're going to reset America and get it back on track. It isn't going to happen. So you don't have to be disappointed. And put your faith in men and that they're going to do something. Now, God can use people in a variety of ways, and we can still pray for our local leaders in the state and various things that God will help them to do the things necessary to maintain a level of law and order that has dissipated in a lot of places. They're not safe to live in America anymore due to the lawlessness in the streets. It's really bad in a lot of places. We're in a better place here. But continue to pray for in the ladder of people that are responsible for the establishment of law and order, because we are ruled by lawless types more than ever, all the way up. You don't have a nation when you allow invaders to come into your country. Just walk across the border. Are you going to just walk into your neighborhood, set up shop? No, you don't have a civilization. It doesn't work that way. And it's false compassion to welcome all these people from these other countries, no matter how downtrodden they are. Well, that's the way it is. And they encourage this. I don't have to go into detail. They pay them to come here monthly. This is insane. We got Americans that could use help. Legitimate Americans, natural born, or people that got here legally, did the paperwork, but not this way. But this is going on in other countries. I saw a deal on Italy. They're just overrunning certain places. All these migrants out of Africa. I have nothing against people based on their race. You know that. It's just that you can't do that without wrecking the lives and the communities of the people who have been hardworking historically and established this. That's your priority. Your priority is your own people in your own country. If you allow others to come in, it needs to be done orderly. They need to be screened. You don't bring criminals in. So all this is going on, and it's just something we have to recognize that we have to go through, apparently. So keep up your prayers for our own interests here at Maranatha, that we'll be able to have assembly without unnecessary interruption. Yes, weather and, this and that. Those things are normal, more or less. But we're talking about chaos in communities. And another COVID scare. You're going to try to run this around through us again. These are things, get wise. These things are not accidents. They are planned by some very, very evil people. So keep praying for us, praying for the church here, my health, my situation, yours, that we can continue to have viable jobs, make it to Bible class, and where believers need help on a financial or physical level. I can boast in this congregation over the years, you have stepped up and done what you needed to do. We have paid people's bills, helped them over humps in the road. I'm glad to do it. The church is glad to do it. We still have some funds. I'm not asking people to do it, but we're here for you. Or other kinds of things you might need that you're a beneficiary of at Maranatha Church, like getting a ride to church, whatever it is. Anyway, the Romans 15 thing, 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So I can tell you that. You need to be praying for your pastor teacher. They don't have a whole bunch of them out there that are lined up, ready to step into this position and teach the same doctrine that I know of. They're hiding real good if they're out there. You don't just manufacture them. So you need me and I need you. It's that simple. To strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. Paul wrote this letter when he was in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. And there were those that wanted to bring him down. And you can read in Acts how he finally got out of there and got to Rome. He was a prisoner, but he got there. He got to them. Maybe not the way you wanted it to be, but he got to be with them and was transported to the Roman capital because he appealed to Caesar, because he was a citizen. And he used that. He played that card. And it worked. The trip from there to Rome was eventful. And my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. He was there in Jerusalem delivering a living grace package. Collected funds, significant funds, from the Gentile churches to help out the Jewish believers still living in the land, still there, living in the land under persecution, economic distress, and he organized and got these churches to put together a big offering to tide them over. May it prove acceptable to the saints so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. I'm going to get something out of this too. I'm going to get to meet you people. And I'm going to be very encouraged by associating with you and the things you do and the things that come out of your mouth. And when you have that kind of fellowship and that kind of a relationship, it's very uplifting. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. That was Colossians 4, 2 and 4. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance and understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. Believers are vulnerable. They are vulnerable to people that can talk them right out of their crown. They are. So always have your guard up. When it doesn't sound right, it's because it isn't right. It doesn't click. And that's one of the attacks that come against us. There's persecution, and then there is the attempt to upset our faith and question what we believe. Hebrews 3, 18 and 19. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so I may be restored to you the sooner. Okay. Whoever that author is, the question about the authorship of the Hebrews letter. Right pastor is to pray for face-to-face teaching. I pray that God, as I said, keeps things open for us. Face-to-face is superior to written correspondence. Obviously, they needed written correspondence. And the Church of Jesus Christ, through time, has been greatly blessed because the writers of Scripture couldn't always be with their flock, their people. So they had to write letters. And how does this apply today? Well, it applies this way. Here, 2 John 12. Second John. Okay. The verse I'm trying to find. Thirteen. I had many things to write to you. John speaking to these believers to whom these three letters were written, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and will speak face to face. That is, for obvious reasons, is a superior situation when you can see your spiritual leader in the flesh and be with him versus a letter. This is also in the other letter. Okay. I had it right to begin with. There was 3:14 and 2 John since 12. Therefore, though I have many things to write to you, I do not write to with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face. And that's where we get our expression, face to face teaching. That your joy may be made full. So, in the wisdom of God, the local church with a living pastor and a congregation is superior to any other means of communication that we have ever used. The internet, tapes, and so forth. Being in a local church and being actively involved is a superior experience for the individual believer. You have interaction with other believers. You have a certain interaction with your pastor that is not there when you're not seeing him in the flesh. So this is a superior thing, and no technology will ever override that or be a perfect substitute for that. You have to have a local church. You have to have a local church for all the reasons that we talk, where people make this a priority to assemble. You may make it a priority to listen to the information outside the local church, and that's fine, but you're compelled to be here when the doors are open and arrange your outside life to minimize contradictions to make the trip for a mere three times a week at Maranatha. Three times. You got to get ready, got to get here, hear the doctrine, and go home. And to set up a schedule, and if you have conflicts with it, pray about it. God will help you so that you can minimize not being here. If you're not here, of course you can get the information. It's as quick as activating your phone or your computer. We try to get it up pretty quick for people. But still, and then there is the, I got a spiritual gift, I'm going to plug it in and interact with other believers and become aware of their needs, their situations, so I can rejoice with those that rejoice, because you can't hear about them, you don't know what to rejoice in, and you can suffer with those who suffer, you can bear one another's burdens as you interact with the royal family under doctrine in a local church. I'm not saying you can't do good for people on the outside. We have a verse, do good to all men, but especially, there's your priority, the especially to the household of faith or positive volition. It's that simple. And I consider it a privilege to be able to, one-on-one in my own life, help out other believers, whether it's verbally or physically. And there's not a lot I can do. I can hand you some cash. I can pray for you. I can give you verbal encouragement. I can do that. And if you need something beyond that, I can activate the living grace function of our church and come to your aid. And some of you are continual beneficiaries of someone coming and getting you and bringing you to Bible class. That is a great blessing, and you wouldn't have that. And if you have other type needs, they're there for you. We're a family, and we're supposed to be. All right. So it is where we should be found when the Lord returns. Luke 12. Go to a gospel here. Well, the rapture didn't occur. I know what you're thinking. But we're going to stay positive. We're going to stay faithful to the plan of God. I just try to look at things the best I can with regard to this event and this timing. And I'm still on board with the fact that a bunch of years out in front of us, it's going to happen at the rate things are going. We don't live in the normal times that we once lived in. The forces of darkness and everything's going crazy. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? The Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants? That would be me, in charge of you, my servants, to give them their rations at the proper time. You're getting your rations today. Spiritual rations. The chiefs, the steward who was over the other people on the estate, he has to be sure that everybody has the wherewithal to carry out the different tasks on the rich man's estate. You got people that need to do this. And he has to orchestrate and see that they get everything they need to sustain themselves and their function. So that's pretty simple. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he returns. Now, for all who have passed on, they're off the hook in the sense that they are in phase three, but in time they are blessed. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So there's a promotion coming. And the promotion, would have to do with the millennial phase of all this. And then he shows the one who says, he's not coming anytime soon, and he gets involved in dissipation and other inappropriate activity. Not a good thing. We won't go there. We'll just deal with a sensible steward who, in the absence of his master, doesn't take advantage of the situation. It is the place where light, divine viewpoint, is being shed on your problems and spiritual walk. Luke 11. Luke 11:33 and following. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. This has to do with, I'm up here, and this is the light being shed. And so anyway. All right, let's take our break. We'll have a coffee break.